Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 22. And starting in verse 4, the Word of God says, by humility and fear. By the way, the word "and" is not there, so we're going to take it out. Okay? In the original language, "and" is not present in that passage. By humility, the fear of the Lord. The word "are" is not in the original language either. That was added later. So what we have here, by humility, the fear of the Lord, riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What do you train the child up in? What does that mean, to train up a child? I believe one of the biggest problems in our culture today, in our Christian culture today, is the fact that we have a very soft Christianity. It is a Christianity of the Laodicean age of Revelation chapter 3, where there is a lot of outward prosperity, but inwardly very little substance. Have you ever met a believer who loved God, but when the trial came, was completely lost as to what to do or how to think? Inwardly, there was very little substance. Why is that? One of the reasons, and there are a number of reasons, but the one that God put on my heart this morning, is one of the reasons is right here: train up a child in the way that he should go. I think one of the mistakes that parents sometimes make, because they love their children, is that they pay too much attention to the emotions, and they pay too much attention to the wants of the child. Train there is an interesting word. It's konok in the original language, and it means to narrow, to initiate, to discipline, and to train. So it's actually four things that you are to do with the child. You are to narrow his path. You are to initiate to that child, to discipline the child. And by that, I don't necessarily mean punish. By that, I mean instruction, both in praise and what we think of as discipline when necessary. And we train the child. In the way he should go. The way is the pattern of life. He should go is pay. And it's a very interesting word. It's not the way. It's not he should go. That's a strange translation. The words mean mouth as an instrument of speech or speech itself. What does that mean? It means his response. Too often what you'll see is children with options. Too often what you see is where the emotions of the child, the fleshly emotions, not the right emotions, because everybody has emotions, don't get me wrong, but the emotions start to dictate as they respond in the old sin nature. And so the old sin nature's initiation of the emotions, because they are taken a little bit too seriously by the parent, given too much credence, start to dominate the home. And in fact, the child is now the head of the house, because the parents are so concerned with how the child feels, and they don't want the child to feel bad, that the child learns to take over. And pretty soon what you get is children, and this is, I believe, one of the reasons why so many teenagers in our country have problems in their homes. They throw fits, they get attitudes. Why? Because they haven't been trained up. Their flesh, their sin nature's initiation to their emotions has been taken so seriously that those emotions are now taken over that home, and when they don't get what they want instantly, they learn to manipulate through their attitude and their voice. And so the parents, because they love their kids, unfortunately though, they love them apart from doctrine, because they love their kids, get a little bit confused. And they, oh, Junior's going to feel bad. Oh, this is going to hurt Junior. Oh, this is going to be hard for Junior. You know what? Parents, be careful. Never protect your children from the challenges that will cause them to grow. Guide them through those challenges. But don't protect them from those challenges. Those challenges have been sent by God to instill in them His nature. And if as a parent, I withhold from my child, I protect my child from a challenge, something that is a little too big for them, I got news for you. God will not give you something that's too big for you. God will never give you more than you are able. But a parent will look by sight at the child's emotions, say, oh, this is upsetting my kid, or this is going to be hard for my kid, and they protect that child from that challenge. And now there is an element of character through a challenge that God brought in specifically for that child. Remember, your children are not yours. They are God's. You are simply stewards of them. God brought a challenge into their life, and they're being protected from that challenge. And an element of God's character is not produced at the time and the way that God had it had intended it to be produced. And so you have this situation where you have kids who grow up into teenagers and young adults who are unable to meet the basic challenges of their lives in a godly manner. And that's where you get these teenagers who are, and young adults, I don't mean to pick on teenagers, it's not because of teenage, that's simply youth. That's all I mean by that. But that's where you get these young people who then pursue things like promiscuity because they can't handle, for example, being alone for a while. When sometimes God's plan is for us to be alone. And sometimes they can't handle being with other people because sometimes God's plan is for us to be with other people. And they can't handle initiations that are ungodly because they have never been challenged to be godly. Children have to be disciplined properly in the home. Never allow your children to not have enforced discipline in the home. Not through unkindness or anger or an emotional reaction on the parent's part, because it's one person's old sin nature responding to another person's old sin nature. But through godly initiation and correction and teaching and instruction in the home. And if my child makes a mistake, it's because they are learning. But if I do nothing to correct the mistake, other than say, oh dear, don't do that, and they do it again because they have a little flesh of their own, and I simply let it go and let them get away with it, then I've trained them, this is the proper response, and don't do that means nothing. Be careful about that. It is prevalent in the Christian culture today. You see it in the high schools, especially the public high schools, among the Christian kids. They are one way at home with mom and dad, of course. It's amazing to me. I teach at the high school. It's amazing to me when we have parent conferences how the same students I see are very different people when mom and dad are around for parent conferences. You know why? Because sometimes they're playing you. Not all kids. Some kids are wonderful kids. Like the group we have here, you guys, I think, have wonderful children. And I don't suspect it's anybody here. But this is what I have seen. Train up. Narrow their road. Don't give them options. Don't say, honey, if you want to do it, you can. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. With some things you can do that, but you know, with the things that are important in life, what you have told them is you can do anything you want to do, and God's plan for you is not really relevant. Be careful about that. God doesn't give options. God gives a call. Okay? God gives you a call. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, follow me if you feel like it. Now what does it say? Pick up your cross and follow me. What does that mean, pick up your cross? Have the Word of God produce the life of God in you to where self is pushed aside and God is on the throne of your heart. And follow me. But this thing where parents say to children, if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You know what that's doing? That is training them to live apart from a cross and apart from the will of God. It is training them to say, your feelings should rule your life. And what you have is young adults who then do not know how to handle life. What does the Word of God say in Proverbs 16:18? What happens to a kid like this? A child that is raised up where every whim or many whims, I don't think there's a parent that would do every whim, but many whims and the child's fleshly emotions are too honored, too taken seriously. They become the rule of the house because, God forbid, Junior feel bad about anything. What happens? That child then becomes very proud and it exhibits itself in a display of arrogance. And they lose all respect for your authority, and not only for your authority, but for any spiritual authority at all. And then they get into a church if they are believers. I'm not even talking about unbelievers. We're not even going to go there. But then they get into a church as believers, and they can't receive from their pastor, whatever church they may happen to go to. Why? Because they have no regard for spiritual authority. And therefore, your opinion is just as good as mine because, after all, I run my house. And I've been doing it for years. And after all, I know how to manipulate the situation at home, so I get my way every time. It's a serious thing. We've gone a long way from the way God designed the family to be. Train them. Don't submit to them. Train them. I think a lot of Christian parents, unfortunately, submit to their children rather than be heads for them and a covering for them. And they submit instead of training. You don't submit to children. You train children. Be careful about that. Your children will become very maladjusted if you submit to them. The world will revolve around them and they will become their frame of reference. That's a bad place for that child to be. What do you do when you do that? Well, you set them up for Proverbs 16:18. The Word of God says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When I do that, I train my child to be proud, and I destroy that child's life. And I train them to be arrogant and puffed up, and so I set them up for complete failure. You see this all the time. You see it all the time. How do we deal with children as parents? How do we deal with this? Well, Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, first, provoke not your children to wrath. What does that mean? In other words, if your kid is being a kid, don't start butting heads with them. Don't have a discussion about it with them. You're not on equal footing with your children. They're children. You are adults. You don't have, let's sit down and discuss what we're going to do about it. No, you tell them, well, this is what we're going to do about it, dear. And you make it clear. And you tell them, honey, this is how it's going to be in our home. I love you with all my heart. This is how it's going to be in our home. And we're going to have a happy family as a result of it. That's how you deal with them. Don't provoke them to wrath. The other part of provoking to wrath is the kid does something wrong and then you jump all over him. Right? Then you ridicule or criticize. Then there's a sarcasm. Oh, you're going to do it again. Don't provoke them to wrath. You provoke them to wrath, you destroy their capacity and they will not be able to respond to you. What do you do? But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. First, the nurture where you impart to them the heart of God towards them, the love of God towards them, the mercy and the sweetness and gentleness of God towards them, but also then in the admonition because they do have this little sin nature going on. And they need to learn how to rein that sin nature in. And they need to learn what it means in a practical sense to pick up your cross and follow me. That their little flesh is not going to rule their life and it's not going to rule your house. So they need to learn how to rein it in. And there's a little admonition there. There's instruction first. By the way, instruction is never done by discipline. Some parents instruct via discipline. Instruction is never done by discipline. It is not the same thing. Instruction is when you teach the child. Okay, honey, it's not like this. You don't want to do this. You want to do this. And you can tell them why they don't want to do it. But you want to do this. This is the right way to do things. That's instruction. If the child is wrong. But you know what? Instruct them all the time anyway. Like spend time in the Bible with your kids. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and certainly all our people aren't here, but I wonder how many people in our church, and not just here, but really Baltimore and everywhere, how many people in our church really crack the Bible with their children? And how many fathers teach their children out of the Bible? Say, okay, we've had dinner, let's take a half an hour and look at the Scriptures. Let's look at the Bible, and let's learn something. Let's have the Holy Spirit give us something from the Word of God. How many parents do that? Well, it's part of the admonition. The other part of the admonition is the discipline when it's necessary. How does God discipline? First, He warns, usually through the pulpit, but other means also. And if the warning goes unheeded, then He starts to chastise a little bit, starts to come against us a little bit, maybe in the details of our lives or the finances or a little bit of like you break your foot or something. And then if that doesn't go, He scourges, which is basically the equivalent of God spanking, if you will. Or maybe that person gets into an accident and they get injured. That's scourging. David was scourged. He was brought very close to death. That's scourging. And finally, and I don't recommend this for your children, but God does this, there's the sin unto physical death. Don't do that at home. But God has this order in which He disciplines. We take on God's order. The child does something wrong. The child doesn't necessarily have the wrong heart before God. Sometimes they just don't know any better and they have this little flesh thing going on. So we correct them. Hey honey, don't do that. You don't want to do that. This is right. It's not right. You hurt people by doing that. And usually if it's a kid with a heart after God, which I think most of the kids here have, you know, here by in our ministry at large, which I think most of our kids have, that's enough. That'll do the trick. And sometimes if that's not enough, then you have to ratchet it up a little bit. But you can't let it be undone. Why? Because then you have not trained them up. Right? In the patterns of life with which they should respond. And if you do that, the Word of God says, then they will not depart from them when they are old. Now that word old there is not a good translation. It is not old as in an old person. There is no... I've heard Christians say this. Yeah, my teenager is just like a demon, but you know, train them up when they're, and they won't depart when they're old, so I guess later. No, there's never a time when God says you can just go out there and live like hell. Okay? That doesn't exist. What does it mean, depart from it when they're old? Depart from it when they grow up, when they become mature and responsible. Then they won't depart from it. When they're on their own, they won't depart from it. When they're no longer under your house or your covering, they won't depart from it. So you train them up in the way they should go. What happens? What happens to the believer who has not done this in their home? Then God's going to bring in a training process. Then God's going to bring in the process by which He initiates the circumstances from which they were protected when they were little to cause them to grow when they're older, when they should have already been grown. God will do it, and God will restore. But it would have been much easier for that child if it had been done right God's way the first time. In your homes, do things God's way. Okay? God's way is not for church. God's way is for your life. Okay, we're not church Christians. We are... What's a church Christian anyway? We are people who have the Holy Spirit living in us, who carry the name of Christ, who have the kingdom of God within us. What is a church? Sunday morning Christianity is a farce. It doesn't exist. Like Pastor Schaller ran into a Seventh-day Adventist one time. God bless the guy. And the guy asked him, on what day do you worship? That's the question that Seventh-day Adventists would ask you. What day do you worship? He said, oh, I worship on Saturday. He said, oh, good. He said, and Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Not against Seventh Adventists, but you know what I'm saying. Guys, do things God's way in your home, including with your kids. Don't give your kids choices. That's the problem. Your kids get too many choices. God doesn't give us choices. You can, okay, your call is either to Africa or to the Bahamas. No, He doesn't work like that. He doesn't work like that. God is not in a democracy, He's in a benevolent dictatorship. Right? He loves you, but it's His plan for your life. It's His call for your life. He'll give you the capacity that you need. He'll give you everything that you need to respond, and He'll do it by faithfully, as He's called you, who will also do it. But He still isn't giving you options. I think today, because of the culture largely in Christianity, we, for some reason, we give our kids all kinds of options. You don't give kids options. You tell them how things are going to be. Not in a harsh, domineering, nasty way, but you are the heads of your home. Be the heads of your home. And I'm not saying you're not. This is just a principle. Be the heads of your home. Give God, you know what your kids really want from you? Clarity. They want clarity. You know why they flip out in the home? No clarity. They want clarity and definition, and they want order, and they want to know how it's going to be because it gives them security. You know what? God does that for us. God gives us clarity and definition and order. Why? Because it gives us security. Then we know He's taken care of us. For some reason, though, parents don't do that for their kids. Oh, whatever you like, dear. If you want to go there today, we can go there. If you don't want to go there today, we don't have to go there. Oh, well, thank you. You are now the head of the house, child. And what happens? Kid grows up and he's a nightmare. Why? It's what they've been trained with. So what happens? Then God initiates order. And it's a whole lot harder. And when that happens, be careful. Don't kick against the pricks. Acts chapter 9. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What are the pricks? The goads. Don't kick against those goads with which God is steering you. But they learn how to do that because they've kicked against your authority. And the result, they will kick against their pastor's authority because they have learned how to not honor spiritual authority. Then they will kick against the authority of an employer. And they'll kick against authority in the home when they have their own home. If it's a woman, she won't know how to properly submit to her husband. If it's a man, he won't know how to be a proper head to his wife and to his family. He'll think it's commanding her when it's not commanding her. It's headship through servanthood. She'll think that she has to nag him to death, be in control and argue about everything, when in truth, if she would simply submit, God would have covered her. By the way, submission is not when you agree, it's when you don't agree. Okay? And if the man is a godly man, then he will initiate the things of God. And if he's not initiating the things of God, you don't submit to him then. You submit to God and his place as the head of the home. A woman should never submit to ungodly initiations by her husband. But if he's being a godly man, then she submits. Why? Is it because he's more than she is? Absolutely not. Adam and Eve were clothed by the skins that Christ made for them at the same time, the same skins. The covering was the same. It's not that she's less or he's more. Absolutely not. No man should ever treat his wife that way. It is because they are different and God established an order. And that is simply the order that God has established. And when that order is honored, then you have two unique expressions of Christ in the home. And the fullness of the expression of Christ for the family comes out. You know what marriage is? Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. That's why the husband submits to Christ and lays down his life for his wife as Christ lays down the life for his church. The woman represents the body of Christ within the home, within the marriage. She responds to the husband the way that the church responds to the Savior. And now you have this fullness of an expression of who God is toward us in the home. But it won't work if your kids are running your house. Anyway, that's just a thought before we get started.